Hi, everybody. I'm Daniel Uhlenberg.
And I'm Andy Schachte.
And this is the Pierce College Daily News Hour. I am here right now, and I am in the booth, and I'm talking with Andy.
That's right. You totally are.
Yes, very good. Today we have a special guest, Professor Ken Windrum.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you for coming, Ken. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Professor Ken Windrum is a film professor, film media. He teaches classes about broadcasting and journalism and screenwriting and film appreciation. He's a jack of all trades in the film portion of Pierce College's curriculum.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty much great at everything.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. So, Ken, what do you have planned next?
I don't have any new plans. What I really want to do is have the film club, which I advise, become a bigger and more student-centered club. This last year has been amazing because the new leadership has been doing a lot more. I've been doing a lot less. And I want to let the students run the club more and more and more and continue all the projects we do, our film series, our film festival, and our filmmaking projects. And otherwise, I want to just kind of stick with what I'm doing. I'm working in the department, teaching my classes. Nothing really major besides that.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of plans for the future as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks to Andy and thanks to Kyle.
Yeah.
And others, and Angel and others.
Next semester will be very different, actually. We're already talking about how we're going to proceed in a more educational value and have more workshops to help newer students or new club members get a better feel of, you know, being on set and that kind of production experience.
That's what that's my plan, is to let you make your plans work.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, we can get it funded and ASO can see we're doing a more educational approach to it and they'll support it entirely. Yeah. I do have some questions, though.
Yes.
I want to get to the nitty-gritty of who Ken Windrum is, the good, the bad, the up and down. So I want to start from the very beginning. Let's talk about your childhood. Obviously, you're into film and media in general. However, were your parents into it at all? What got you into it?
My grandfather was a carpenter at MGM in the 1930s, and
really?
He worked on films. And my father worked on building Disneyland. He was an Imagineer at Disney for 25 years. And he also, in the 50s, worked at the studios as an art director. Well, not art director, in the art department on movies like Rebel Without a Cause, Ben-Hur, big films, doing set design. So he always liked movies. We always went to movies a lot. We would go twice a month. And he knew that I liked them. And the story I've told 150 times, I'll tell it again, is he took me to see Lawrence of Arabia when I was 7 or so. And back then there were double features. Even with Lawrence of Arabia, there was a double feature.
Oh,
another movie. And it was 6 hours plus with the two films. And I sat through the whole thing without complaining because I was just thrilled. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world, 6 hours of movies. And so, you know, I always wanted to go to movies. I was like into them really early. So, and he was very happy to take me to see them.
That's great. So you studied film, but from my understanding, you know, you did some production work that you didn't really enjoy.
I did production undergraduate at UCLA because the degree there, and it's a really good program, you have to do everything, which I think everyone should do. So I made a little film, and yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't really want to work on it. I didn't enjoy editing it. I realized, you know what, I don't fundamentally like doing this. So I went more towards screenwriting, which I was better at. But ultimately what I realized is that the critical studies classes that I would take were the ones I looked forward to all day, where we would watch movies and we'd write papers. And, you know, nobody at first thinks I'm going to be a critical studies film professor. I mean, maybe somebody does, but I think a lot of people think I want to be a director, I want to be a writer. But after a few years of out of school, I was like, you know, I want to go back and get my PhD and teach, and which is what I ended up doing.
So during that process, did you ever try getting back into filmmaking at all? Or did that kind of lose your interest entirely?
I had no interest once it was done, once I had not done it. I didn't ever do it. I've been with film crews. I have a friend who's a filmmaker. I've acted in his film, which was fun. And I've read screenplays by people, you know, in the industry, or people trying to get in and giving them comments and such. But no, not really.
So, Ken, what we've been wanting to ask is, what is the worst movie you've ever watched,
Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor is an insult to everybody who died at Pearl Harbor. It's an insult to the Japanese, and it's an insult to everybody because, well, first of all, he was so clearly wanting to make his Academy Award-winning movie, but he doesn't have the ability to make that type of movie. It's terrible. It's badly acted. It's overdone. It's a dishonest movie, too. No one's smoking, for instance, in the Army in 1941. And then, instead of climaxing with Pearl Harbor, which is how the movie should end, which is how Tora, Tora, Tora ends, the previous movie, he knew that wasn't cheerful enough. So he ends with the firebombing of Tokyo. Now, I guess dropping fire on living human beings, women and children, is cheerful. And we get to root for Alec Baldwin. There's also a scene in it that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen where FDR literally lifts himself out of his wheelchair in anger at what's going on. And I, watching that movie, I was like, you know, this is the worst film I've ever seen. And I have not seen anything worse since. Although I will say The Neon Demon by Nicholas Winding Refn is a really appalling film.
Okay, I'm going to do the unspeakable. I'm going to try to defend Michael Bay right now.
Go ahead.
Because I'll agree, I don't think he's a very competent director. But in my opinion, there's no denying that man knows how to use CGI to a great extent. When I see him doing a Transformers or something, I've only seen the first one when I was a kid. But I never once questioned whether or not these robots are real or fake. It never crossed my mind because that transition from that real world to the fake world was seamless. And I think, yeah, he's not the greatest, but I do pride him for his technical abilities as far as, you know, pushing CGI to its limits.
That may be very true. I haven't seen any of the Transformers films, and I've really avoided him since Pearl Harbor. I did see the one that had Dwayne Johnson, the kind of a one about the guys who kidnapped the guy.
Pain and Gain.
Yeah, and I thought that was horrible and ugly.
Yeah.
Like, there was something just ugly about that entire film, and I was like, well, okay, if he can't even make a good dark comedy, because this is the kind of movie that Coen brothers could have made in their sleep. So I don't know. I haven't seen the Transformers films. He may be good with special effects and technique, but that means zero to me if I'm not interested in a movie.
Yeah, which is a totally fair way to, you know,
I see.
But going back to what you said about The Neon Demon, have you seen anything else by Nicholas Winding Refn?
Well, Drive was good, and that's because he didn't write it. And I thought, okay, this guy's got some potential. I hadn't seen his earlier films, which I know people like.
Bronson.
Yeah, I know people like that. I didn't see it, and I'd like to at some point. The next one, Only God Forgives, was horrible. And The Neon Demon, I've rarely felt that a movie was, like, immoral, but that movie seemed to take glee in the murder of a 17-year-old girl, basically. Yeah. And I just was disgusted by it, and it was just everything that's wrong with movies, overblown without any content. And that's what so many directors think. You know, a thing I say a lot is Stanley Kubrick did not go to the set thinking, I'm going to make a big Kubrick-style movie. He just did what he did. But you get people like this guy or like the guy who did Birth. I forget his name.
Oh, I forget.
And he also did the film with Scarlett Johansson, Under Her Skin. Jonathan Glazer.
Under the Skin, yeah.
That so obviously are trying to make masterpieces. And I don't know. It's not the way the greats made films in general. I mean, maybe there are exceptions. I think D.W. Griffith wanted to make a masterpiece with Intolerance, but he did. Anyway, so I don't know. I just think certain directors are so overblown, and yet they have nothing to say because they're not thoughtful, intelligent people who have cultural values. They're not literate people. They're people who've seen a lot of movies and think that, like, bombast will overcome everything.
Yeah.
Very good.
So on that note, what is your greatest theater experience?
Seeing 2001, A Space Odyssey with my dad. Going back to my dad, this is a childhood experience. I was about 12, 13. It was playing in 70mm in the Cinerama Dome, and he said, let's just sit in the first row. Now, if you've ever been in the Dome and sat in the first row, it's a really huge screen, and the screen just opens and opens and opens. It's about 80 feet wide and curving, and I was just mesmerized watching it. Like, there's no other word for it. I was blown away, as they say. And that, like, became my favorite film of all time, and it pretty much still is my favorite film of all time. But something about sitting in the first row at that theater, and the sound also is amazing. It's 6-track magnetic stereo sound. 70mm image looks better than any other image I think anyone will ever create. So it was, and it's a great movie.
So I know you like other forms of media as well, right? So I'm going to ask you, what are your top 3 greatest films and albums?
My favorite films are 2001: A Space Odyssey and It's a Wonderful Life, because that's, I think, the most moving film ever made, and Hitchcock's Vertigo, which is another, you know, huge visual film. My three favorite albums are all from the 60s. The third Velvet Underground album, the album Forever Changes by the Los Angeles group Love, and I guess I would throw in Highway 61 Revisited by Bob Dylan. I guess those would be my favorites.
All right, good answer.
Isn't that right, Andy?
That is right. That is a good answer. And picture this. You're on a deserted island. You have a TV, Blu-ray player, and you only watch films by three directors. Who are the directors? Any films by them?
Godard, because his movies are the most challenging and endlessly difficult. Howard Hawks, because nobody made entertainment better than him. And Hitchcock, I guess, who probably knew film language. You can always learn from Hitchcock, no matter how many times I see his films. There's always something I'll notice, like a camera movement that's just perfectly right, a cut. And, yeah, I guess those would be the three.
It's interesting you put Hitchcock and Godard, because, like, Hitchcock kind of created film language, whereas Godard kind of, you know, he obstructed it and made it into something new with the French New Wave. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, but Godard comes out of loving and appreciating Hitchcock and appreciating classical Hollywood cinema and then wanting to do something new. And I think that's what, you know, and Hitchcock came out of seeing German silent cinema, which he was trained in, thinking visually, but then moving it into the sound era, into the era of color, into the era of widescreen, into the era of violence, nudity, all these things that, you know, Hitchcock continued, and he would have continued doing new things if he could have lived to be 2,000 years old or whatever. Yeah.
I feel like in that era, especially with film, you know, we were still so young as far as learning technology and how to properly construct language in film. Hitchcock is one that kind of grounded, you know, the basics of this is what a film should be. This is how the mind perceives this action or this shot. And I feel like we don't have that kind of technicality anymore in today's age.
I don't think directors are as aware of the implications of what they do. I think they're more working in, they kind of know how to make a movie and they don't think it out the way someone like Hitchcock did. You know, he was somebody who, like, yeah, was fairly early on. I mean, you know, ultimately, if you want to think about the grammar of film language, you have to give it to D.W. Griffith. You know, Griffith is somebody who nobody wants to talk about because he made the most hateful racist film ever made, Birth of a Nation, or one of the most hateful racist films ever made. But the building blocks of film grammar all come from D.W. Griffith. And for the, you know, 5 years he worked at Biograph from 1908 to 1913, almost anything you've ever heard of, whether it's cross-cutting or moving into a closer shot or cutting in, he almost did the first example of almost all of it.
It's my understanding, didn't he do an apology film about...
No, Intolerance is not an apology movie. That's the way people look at it. He felt that people were intolerant of him, that Birth of a Nation was, in his opinion, a great movie, and that people were being intolerant. And so he made a story about intolerance through the ages. But his real anger is towards reformers of the period. Now, this is a period where a lot of middle-class women were trying to make reforms in terms of better food, better living conditions, better working conditions, and... He basically makes them look like joy killers because they wanted to take away alcohol, and Griffith himself loved to drink.
Hmm. Well, we actually have a caller today.
Andy.
Yep, that's right. Live from the street, we have our first audio call. Hi, can I ask who this is?
Hi, this is Patrick
Schneep.
One more time.
Patrick Schneep.
Hi, Patrick. How can we help you today?
Hi. Well, I thought I'd call in because... I'm a devoted listener to your show, as is everybody else, it appears. And I heard these cries coming from the mall, and I went, and there was the Pierce Brahma, and that's where I am right now. And I wanted to let you guys know I'm getting closer to it. Everybody's quiet now.
Patrick, please step away from the Brahma. We'll send in our intern to go check it out.
No, I got it. Don't worry. My life is less valuable than the safety of your staff.
No, our staff is meaningless.
I can't look away.
Describe the Brahma to us. Tell us what you see.
I'm drawn to him. I can't. Hello, Brahma. He's beautiful. He's glowing. He's 10 feet tall, but he's 1 foot wide. Or is it the other way around? I can't tell.
Well, Patrick, while you are staring at the Brahma, we do have a guest listener or guest interviewer today. His name is Ken Windrum.
Professor Ken Windrum?
Yep.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Would you like to ask him any questions while he's here?
Yes. In your opinion, what effect has the French New Wave had on modern interpretive cinema?
It's influenced most of the good directors, and the bad directors are the ones who don't know what it is.
But the even better directors purposefully subvert it, right?
Well, yes, because it subverted Hollywood. So someone like Scorsese, I don't know if subvert's the right word, but... So, yeah, Godard does, like, a close-up of a shot of a cup of cappuccino, and Scorsese makes it a close-up of Alka-Seltzer and Taxi Driver, and he moves forward from it. Good directors do that, at least.
Oh, fantastic. I heard that Andy and his friend Daniel have a short film that's going to be coming out in the movie festival, the Pierce Movie Festival that's going to be happening, that it kind of draws from that whole... thing. Ken, what's with that Pierce Movie Festival? Is that going to be happening soon?
Yeah, it's going to be happening in the Great Hall on...
May 24th, I believe.
Yeah, Monday, May 24th, I think.
Yeah.
And if that's a date...
I have no idea.
And basically, everyone who wants to submit a film should... submit a film, and Andy can give you the information on that later. It's for students to submit their films.
Yeah, we.
How do I submit my film?
We have an email address. I will gladly post
May 21st.
May 21st.
I'll gladly 7 p.m.
Post 7 p.m. May 21st in the Great Hall. I will gladly post the email address to send your films to in the description of this video, or of this audio file radio show. But yeah, essentially we're allowing any submissions. There's no censorship. All we ask is less than 10 minutes. We are also taking, if anyone who's listening in high school, high schoolers in the LA area can submit their films as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'll be submitting, you know, my pretentious film, because that's who I am. But anybody can submit their films, because that's how normal people are. But I'm currently being gnawed to death, so I'm going to hang up and call the paramedics.
All right, well, you have a good day. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
An Annihilation.
What was that, Daniel?
No, the movie, the one that came out earlier this year.
Daniel's having a whole other conversation with someone else. So, unfortunately, we have to wrap up today. But, Ken, I'd like to thank you for coming by. Do you have any questions for us, or do you have anything you want to plug in for your listeners?
No, not really.
Well, thank you for coming then.
Thank you. It was fun. I enjoyed doing this.
It's always great to have you. It's always great to have another guest. Daniel, any closing statements?
I'm not going to say anything until you go.
Okay. Well, you know what? How about this? Ken, one last time, thank you for coming.
Thank you, and I'll be happy to come back anytime. This is fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, on that note, unfortunately... this week's episode is about to have to come to an end. We're all out of time. Thank you so much, Ken, for coming onto the show. And
you're welcome.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Everybody, this has been Ken Windrum.
And Andy Schachter.
I'm Daniel Uhlenberg.
And again, I'm Andy Schachter. Sorry.
And this has been the Pierce College Daily News Hour.